You are tuned to Breach and Echoes, and it is 11 o'clock, and it is a Tuesday, and we have joining us on the phone Manny Frangidakis, along with Stamati Sastra. I'm here with Kostas Perdikakis. Gentlemen, kalimera sas.
Good morning.
Kalimera, good morning.
Kalimera, kalimera. It's just me this morning.
Good morning, Manny. How are you?
So we're looking forward to hear your advice so we can make some money, Manny.
Costa,
I'm anxious. You know.
Costa came in with a roll of hundreds, man. He doesn't know what to do with it. Tell him where to put it today, will you?
Well, it's definitely an interesting time of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and things have benefited quite a great deal since those June lows, or at least improved quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it bears watching. I think that we're still going to continue to be range bound. I'm a little surprised at how quickly we advanced and how close we're up to the upper range of what we expect in terms of a broad trading range, which for me is about 4,100 in the S&P 500, which frankly is just, you know, a few points away from here. And, you know, the low end being around, you know, 3,800 to 3,750. So nothing really too surprising from here to the rest of the year. You had a PPI release this morning that came in cooler than expected, similar to CPI last week, which is allowing for the markets to rally here in quite a decent degree. You've got the S&P up 1.6%, and you've got the NASDAQ up 2%. So your next real big meeting is going to be the December Federal Reserve meeting, which, you know, all intents and purposes, we're expecting a 50 basis point rate hike.
So they're going to have a raise.
Another one.
Yeah, I mean, it's already priced in, Costa, and, you know, they can't let their foot off the gas here. They're going to lose credibility.
I see.
You had a bunch of Fed speak that happened after last week's release and after the massive market advance on Thursday. So, you know, Christopher Waller, who's a lifetime voting member, came out and said that markets are getting ahead of themselves, that, yes, we do have – and here's the thing. Yes, rate hikes are going to end, and we do think the end is in sight, but – we also don't expect that, you know, we go back to a pre-COVID world where CPI is in that 1-2% range.
Mm-hmm.
The question from here is how elevated do these rates remain and for how long of a period of time? And we think that it's going to be most of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And investors and, you know, even just consumers have to get comfortable with a 3-4% level.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's today's
inflation,
Manny? What's today's current rate on a 30-year amortized mortgage? What are
just
we
over at? Seven? Just
it,
over seven.
It is seven. It has hit that seven.
Yeah, it's like it's just under like 7.1%.
What about the commercial?
It's about the same, isn't it? About the same.
No, commercial is always higher.
Yeah.
Is it the same?
It depends on how much, guys. It depends on how much collateral you put.
Yeah, exactly.
I see.
Yeah.
You know, everything changes. I mean, you can get a lower rate if you want to put $250,000 on down payment on a property that's only, you know, $500,000. It's going to give you a better rate.
It depends on
what you can put down.
Yeah.
How much risk you can take? What's your credit? So one of the things that came out this morning, especially with the bank reports,
mm-hmm.
you know, is it's very hard to get financing right now for a credit score below 720.
Mm-hmm.
And the banks are tightening conditions, whether it's for auto loans, for real estate. So you're going to start to see a pullback, which is exactly what you want to see, because that means that these rate hikes are working.
Mm-hmm.
You're pulling steam out of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny, the numbers you mentioned last week pretty much, you know, showed up this week.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, we've been saying for months now that we thought inflation was, you know, already peaking.
It's just,
you know, again, these things operate at a 6-9 month lag. Mm-hmm. You have to wait for these data points to meet your thought process and then just essentially confirm them. And I think we're in that process now. I do think that we're going to have to deal with elevated inflation for some time,
mm-hmm.
But it is peaking. We do see plenty of deflationary forces out there. You know, used car prices in today's PPI report are down 1.5%.
Mm-hmm.
So things are working. It's just going to take time for us to sort them out.
Mm-hmm. What about the housing market, Manny?
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, Costa.
You
know, I read a bunch of home builder reports from all across the country the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, including Boston, that says that the market is super dry right now, that there's no movement. You've seen a massive pause in new starts. So new starts for construction. You've seen a massive pullback in permits. And you've seen a massive decrease in transactions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because again, you know, one of the issues here is if you have a house and you thought about leaving last year, but you got a 3% mortgage rate on it. You know, why would you sell now to go get a 7% mortgage?
Yeah, it just doesn't make you, you know, I know mortgage brokers right now are having a very difficult time, very difficult time. First of all, you know, 3/4 of their ball game is, you know, refinances, and, you know, no one's.
Which is down 80% year to date.
80%. That's the number. I heard that too, Manny, that you confirmed it for me. That's think about that. That's
yeah, that's good. Well, what about the pricing, Manny? You know, like, you have any substantial reduction in prices? You know, like housing, specifically. You know, like
I'm curious what his opinion is on these. Let's talk the second Florida homes, Manny. I think we all know that a year ago the prices were inflated. They're deflating, but in your opinion, what's going on with that Florida market, that second home market? That was really flying, you know, basically up until Trump left, not to get political, but that's about the time period, you know, when they were peaking
like
out.
What
do you think about that whole real estate down there stuff? Just your opinion.
Oh, it's down pretty drastically. I think the gentleman in your office right now has been looking for quite a while and probably has a better idea than anybody.
Actually, I get a report from West Palm Beach. You know, like it's about 27% down price-wise.
27%
down. Yeah, 27%.
That's a...
Don't forget, guys, it's about the rate of change, and it's where were comps last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's down 27%, but, you know, they were up 40% last year.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, actually...
You know what I mean? So, like, it's still super elevated, but it's just down substantially from the ultra crazy
from the reality
of 2021.
Well, Florida was the place to be. I mean, let's face it, everybody wanted to move to Florida. I mean, you know, like, so actually now, so what about they say that, you know, like, the foreclosures, if the unemployment will go higher, a lot of people will be losing, you know, like, homes that they bought, you know, like, they overextended themselves.
We've,
you know,
seen the last this. When did we see that? Last 7-8 years ago? When was that?
Yeah.
When
well, no, longer than that,
longer
yeah.
Than that.
Well, what do you think, Manny?
Here's the kicker. I don't see the unemployment rate drastically increasing because you still have 10.3 million jobs in surplus.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing right now is, yes, layoffs are happening.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even the report that came out today from the New York Fed is, people, you know, 43% of the population that makes between $51,000 and $100,000 a year per household is very concerned about their employment situation, but also 60% of them believe strongly that they can get another job almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see that being a massive factor. What I do think happening is, yes, do we get up from like the 3.4% ultra low unemployment rate that we're at now? Yes. I think that we probably settle around a 4.8 to 5% unemployment sometime in 2023. And that's also going to be what the Fed wants to see, which eventually opens the door to potential rate cuts on the back end of 2023 and in 2024. Because what we're doing right now is, you know, choking the economy with growth, out of growth.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, they're going to have to reverse course. That's what the market's trying to focus on and figure out is, yes, we understand that, you know, you'll continue to hear this. It's been in the media a ton. It's, when is the pause and when is the pivot? So I think the pause is coming, and then the pivot potentially happens sometime on the back end of 2023 or 2024. Because what we believe is going to happen is that in the first quarter of 2023, you're going to hit earnings season in mid-January. We're expecting some pretty bad corporate earnings because a lot of this inflation data and what companies have been able to, you know, managed through hasn't reflected in the earning reports yet. So you're starting to hear the likes of your Facebooks, your Teslas, your Amazons. You know, Warner Brothers just came out and said that if they don't see a massive uptick in advertising spending, there's no way they make their 2023 earnings estimates. So it's coming down, and it's gonna be in the data come the beginning of 2023, which I believe then opens the door for them to reverse course at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. How they're forecasting the Christmas activity as far as shopping? What's the forecast? You know, like
I think it's going to be lower. I mean, we don't expect anything really spectacular out of retail sales. Home Depot just had a decent earnings print, but just lowered guidance for the next couple months. And you're sitting on stale backlogs, and now you're sitting on stale inventory. So even in the New York Fed report that came out this morning, you had a 12% increase in inventory. So people aren't buying goods right now. They continue to use their capital to take on services, which service inflation is continuing to somewhat rise, although you are starting to see a drop now in hotel and airline prices as most companies, due to a deterioration in earnings, are pulling back on executive travel and requiring permission to go to conferences, to go on business trips. They're going to push virtual meetings even harder towards the end of this year and beginning of next year to cut down on costs and improve margins, or at least try to keep margins elevated.
Interesting. Manny, just a question, kind of. You mentioned Home Depot. Is Home Depot the number one retailer in the United States of America? Is there anybody bigger retail?
Walmart
is the biggest.
Walmart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you see the comments that Bezos made yesterday?
Yeah, that he's going to give up
all his money.
Yeah, I know that, but about the economy, saying that we are in the beginning of a recession, and he advised people to save their money, and I don't know. I mean, I was listening to him this morning.
Well, he lost $1 trillion in market cap this year, so.
Yeah.
I would imagine he's already much more in a recession.
There you go.
He's trying to make himself feel better about, hey, it's not just me. Watch out.
Yeah. Hey, Manny. Mike Janity here.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I got a question for you. We got a big announcement supposedly coming tonight from Trump. How does that affect?
What's going on with
that? How will that affect the markets? Any effect at all?
No, probably not, because similar to what we said last week, the market didn't care about the midterm elections.
Right.
They didn't even care at all.
Mm-hmm.
That everything was always going to be about the CPI print that came 2 days later. And the idea that, everything, again, by the market standards, is going to be determined on where is inflation and where are rates. So if you see the 10-year Treasury going up close to 4.2% again, stocks will sell off. Right now you have yields going down, which is why the market's up about 2.5%. That's going to be the tail that wags the dog. It's not going to be anything political. As you know, politics haven't really played a huge factor in the market for quite some time. I don't even think his announcement's going to be meaningful, because everyone expected a red wave last week. It was the exact opposite. If anything, you got more of like a blue dribble.
That was a nice red dribble.
So that's the own Republican Party that's coming out and putting a referendum on the chief persona in their camp. So I don't know how this plays out for him, but I would imagine that post those elections, he's not a happy camper right now. So it'll be interesting to see if he goes after the likes of your Ron DeSantis and anyone else that he thinks is going to be his competition, should he choose to run.
Well, what is your gut feeling? You think he's going to announce that he's running for president, or he's going to keep his mouth shut and stay with Melania over there and go swimming or play golf? What do you think?
Melania's all done, isn't she? No, they're still together.
They're still together.
Wow. Oh, I was thinking of Tom Brady.
Man, you got a confusion.
They both got hot blocks.
That's a big difference.
My gut is that he doesn't make a massive announcement tonight and tries to kick the can.
Yeah.
Should he have gotten the outcome he wanted last week, I think it would have been a different story. But who knows? I mean, he is the definition of a wild card.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
We have no idea what's going to come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
His choices are one of two. He's either going to call himself the kingmaker of the Republican Party, saying that whoever I support is going to be the nominee, or he's going to flat out say that I'm the nominee and I'm running in 2024.
Time will tell.
Yeah,
Before I let Manny go,
I have to make sure that I'll be tuned on, at 9 o'clock.
That's it. Listen, and Petro just left, but we want to remind the listening audience, and I'll allow you, Manny, for a second to invite the audience tonight. Unfortunately, I can't make it, but you, along with T.A. Demoulas, are going to be over at Emmanuel College in the Fenway Room. Once again, we've been asking our listening audience to just Google, get yourself on a GPS, Emmanuel College, right into the parking lot, free parking in the Fenway Room. And food finance in the age of inflation. Going to be a nice little discussion, Manny.
That would be great. That's a great
presentation. What are you guys going to touch upon?
Well, I'm sure we're going to be fielding questions from the student body and the audience, but we're going to go in there and, I'm actually very interested to see what TA has to say. As most people are aware that, what's happening in grocery is a true reflection on any given day of what's happening in the economy.
No doubt.
So I'm curious to see what he has to say and what he sees from his perspective. But it's going to be a very informative and interactive conversation. It's not going to be a a lecture. It's going to be much more of a fireside chat, and you know, we look forward with engaging
questions
with the
audience and answers.
Audience.
Correct. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Engaging.
I'm sorry I'm going to miss it. I wish I knew.
You know what? Well, they're going to capture it, and I mean, we'll catch it. All this social media and everything else, that's the good part about
technology. Exactly. We'll try to get a recording and see if we can blast it out to our listening audience here.
No doubt. Yeah. Anyway, Manny once again joins us each and every Tuesday at 11 bells here on Grecian Echoes. Manny, have a wonderful, wonderful have fun tonight. Enjoy it, and we'll regroup next Tuesday.
Manny. Thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Manny Frangidakis, 12 Points Wealth Management.